In the beginning. C-130 rolling down the strip, airborne ranger on a one-way trip. Mission unspoken, destination unknown. Airborne ranger ain't never coming home. Ranger running cadence. The C-130 transport plane bucked and shook side to side like a malevolent rodeo bull. It's going to be a hell of a ride till we can get out of this baby, I thought, as the big iron bird descended to jump altitude. Then the plane leveled out, and the bouncing and shivering, though still severe, took on a slightly more predictable tempo. Now, it was time. Barely able to move, encased in the weight of parachute, rucksack, equipment harness, and rifle, I lurched to my feet, hooked the parachute's static line to the overhead steel cable, and turned to face the 40 other rangers still seated on the red nylon benches that ran down the sides and center of the aircraft. I looked at the Air Force loadmaster as he spoke into his microphone and watched for the red jump light to come on. Then, with a sudden whoosh followed by a deafening roar, he and his assistant slid the jump doors into the opened and ready position. Wind howled through the plane and whipped at my legs as I glanced across the plane to my assistant jump master, Sergeant Allie Jones. He nodded that he was ready, and it began. I looked back down the line of expectant men seated in front of me, gave the fuselage floor a powerful stamp with my left foot, threw my hands and arms into the air with my palms facing the men, and yelled at the top of my lungs, "Get ready!" The men unbuckled their seatbelts, focused their attention on my assistant and me on the other side of the plane, and sat upright in their seats, ready for the next command. "Outboard personnel, stand up!" I shouted, as I pointed to the men seated against the skin of the aircraft. They struggled to their feet in spite of the plane's wild lurching, and when they were in line facing me, I continued the jump commands. "Inboard personnel, stand up!" I pointed with extended arms and hands to the men still seated on the centerline seats. With help from their standing comrades, they got to their feet, and the two groups formed into a continuous line. The plane was bouncing and rattling now like an old truck hurtling over a washboarded dirt road, and it was all the men could do to keep their balance. "I hope no one starts throwing up. If they do, it'll spread like wildfire, and the floors will become slippery and dangerous." But this was a veteran bunch of jumpers, and no one became airsick, even though the ride was getting worse now that we were on the jump run. "Hook up," I called, extending my arms high overhead and making crooks of my index fingers. Only the first few men in line could hear the commands and understand my voice over the roaring blast coming in the open doors, but everyone could see the hand and arm signals of the jump commands, and it was a code they knew by heart. In unison, the jumpers detached their static line clips from the top of their reserve parachutes, snapped them in place on the overhead steel cable running the length of the fuselage, and inserted the safety wire through the sliding lock. I slid my fingers back and forth over imaginary steel cables. "Check static lines." Every man checked his own static line, and then the line of the man in front of him. This was the crucial check. A fouled static line could kill you. With exaggerated movements, I patted the front of my chest with both hands. "Check equipment." Each ranger checked his helmet, his reserve parachute, his rucksack and lowering line, and his weapon, making sure everything was securely and properly fastened. I placed cupped hands behind my ears and shouted, "Sound off for equipment check." Beginning with the last man in the rear of the plane, the response came up the line, each ranger slapping the ass of the man in front of him and yelling into his ear, "Okay." I heard the muffled reply faintly at first, but it gathered power and speed as the call rippled up the line until the man directly in front of me threw out his hand with the circled fingers of the okay signal, stamped his foot on the aluminum floor, and shouted, "All okay." Now I turned to the open jump door. I checked to make sure my rucksack was securely tied to my upwind leg. Then I took a firm hold of the door frame with my right hand and ran my left hand down the other edge of the door, making sure there was no sharp edge that might cut a static line. Next, I kicked the side locks of the jump platform and gave it a stomp with one foot.